Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
We start and stop and start and stop. About Alex Jones all the time.
For everyone who's listening to this, we are encountering incredible technical difficulties, but I think we might have resolved them.
I mean, not we. Fingers it's really more crossed. Just you. I'm just sitting here. My mic works. I've found
some advice on the interweb, and hopefully that will resolve things and we will be good to go. If you're listening to this in the podcast form, live on the internet, you're probably thinking, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And you're right. Who does?
You know, anyway, what's crazy?
What's up?
The amazing thing about this show is we do give credit where credit is due.
Sure.
And the InfoWars comment section has incredible streaming advice.
Yep.
Like, you got to give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
We always go to the Info Warriors to figure out why we're having streaming difficulties.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So anyway, let's
widely known for helpfulness and racism.
Indeed. And yeah. Helpful racism.
Nah. Is that a thing?
Nope.
I feel like it's not.
So today, Jordan, we're going to be going over the episode from September 22nd. That is Friday of last week.
Right.
We'll be going over that and experiencing all the wonderment and bizarre, nonsensical bullshit that Alex gets into. He has a lot of narratives that are stupid. He has a lot of behaviors that are stupid. And we will talk about it all. But first, here is an out-of-context drop of Alex Jones discussing the NFL protests that are imminent this weekend. Here on Sunday, we're seeing some of them happen. But he put out a video on Saturday preemptively.
Great.
Making a prediction that might be a little overblown.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Alex Jones here live on Saturday afternoon from the InfoWars News Center. President Trump, addressing a crowd, as the whole world now knows, came out and said, get that son of a bitch off the field.
Mm.
Trump calls for boycotts of the NFL teams whose players refuse to stand for the national anthem. This could save the country.
Little bit grandiose, perhaps.
It could.
Yeah, I think
it could.
I think that the president calling for people who are making peaceful demonstrations to be fired from their jobs, I think that's maybe the other direction from saving the country.
No, that could save the country.
I don't see how.
Alex's super villain.
Alex's argument.
We're already here.
Okay.
North Korea has one demand.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're going to nuke the country.
Fire the black people
get
from sports.
Get rid of Colin Kaepernick. That's all they wanted.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's like a lottery situation. Mm-hmm. We're right back there all over again. Mm-hmm. That's the situation.
Kim Jong-un was thrilled when his father died because he's like, finally, I can take out that San Francisco quarterback.
Right, right. Well, I mean, he's, Dennis Rodman hates Kaepernick. That everybody knows that's true.
Is that right?
No.
You're just making that up?
I don't know.
Okay.
Who knows? There's no reason for any of that. It's all stupid. We live in the dumbest planet on the fucking world.
There's no doubt about
dumbest
it.
Dumbest place on the fucking world.
Especially
our president is tweeting about a fucking football player.
Uh-huh.
Puerto Rico doesn't exist anymore. There's no more Puerto Rico.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a mess. That's a mess. That's
and
a real
we,
mess.
But fucking a guy kneeled during the national anthem.
Right.
So fucking great. We're great. We're doing awesome.
And there's another thing I want to bring up, because Alex Jones, one of his favorite narratives is that the globalists are trying to, like, kill the birth rate and what have you.
Of course.
Through, brainwashing and putting, getting you on psychotropic medication.
Fluoride and the like.
Well, I'd actually like to link here. I'm going to go to the research camp. Here is a study that was just recently done about Flint, Michigan. And the fertility rates among people in Flint since the lead situation became so bad. There is a massive, massive downward trend from right around the time in 2014. 2013, 2014, all the way down. I mean, it's a serious, serious drop. If you look at this graph, it's utter insanity. And as they point out,
hey guys, but make sure that you know that we added another $80 billion to a $700 billion military budget.
Right.
We can't afford to take care of Flint's fucking water, but god damn it, we need another dumb plane.
Also, if you're watching this live, I do feel a little bit self-conscious. Because when I flashed that up on the screen, the article from the Washington Post, There is an ad for the InfoWars store on there.
No, because of course, because they have all your cookies. So every single page you go to has InfoWars on it.
If you ever...
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
If you ever go to their website, it will be on every single page
that
you go
hilarious.
To.
That is hilarious.
For the rest of your fucking life. So anyway, I mean, if you want to talk about the globalists trying to kill birth rates, you might want to pay a little bit of attention to Flint, which he never does. He never talks about it.
Think about that as far as the situation with Puerto Rico. Like, Flint, Michigan has had no real water for 3 years.
Yeah.
And Puerto Rico has 3.6 million people without water at all.
And electricity.
So think about how soon we're going to get on top of that.
Nah, probably never. Probably never.
Fucking, I had that thought over the weekend, which is like, when Puerto Ricans do come to the mainland, idiot GOP people are going to be like, these refugees coming in with, mm-hmm. and it's like, no, they're part of our fucking country.
It's America.
Idiots. Yeah.
Dickweed.
They're more American than you are at this fucking point.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know when we're ever going to get to it and addressing those sorts of things, but I do know that now is the time that we get to the Friday episode.
Okay.
So let's jump into it. Alex Jones is, he's in a weird mood on this day. He does reveal that possibly one of his cats died the night before. And so that puts him in a weird mood. He's used this excuse before.
Uh-huh.
He did say, after he called Schiff an archetypal cocksucker and threatened to beat him up, he did say the next day, he's like, my dog died. So we do
right.
know he has
right,
a
right,
weird
right.
relationship with his pets.
Okay. Okay.
But, I don't think it justifies some of the stuff that we're going to be getting into.
Or he kills an animal every time something bad happens.
Blood sacrifice.
Is he doing that?
Blood sacrifice.
All right. Everything they say that we're doing is what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. So he starts the show off complaining about Satanism and how it's afoot. But then he ends up...
it's afoot?
Yeah, it's on the march.
Excuse me, dear Watson. Satanism is afoot.
Dear Paul Joseph Watson?
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
But in the end, he really just complains about something else entirely.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hard to believe it's already the 22nd day of September 2017. And we live in just an incredibly bizarre world.
Agreed.
I've talked a lot about this. And even though North Korea threatening to test a hydrogen bomb above ground on an unnamed Pacific island, even though that is a real hallmark of World War III and the possible destruction of our planet, the underlying cause of it is evil. And 22 years ago on air, I didn't talk like that. 10 years ago on air, I didn't do that.
That's fair.
22
years
ago.
The more research I do, you just run
was.
Into Satanists and pedophiles every time. It's the same thing from China to Russia to the United States to Mexico. It's the same thing powering the drug cartels in Mexico. Satanism. They're public about it. It's the same thing powering the Vatican. It's the same thing powering much of the CIA. It is a bunch of weak scum trying to play God and trying to run our lives. And I've talked about how, with relish, with extreme enjoyment, with raptured delight, all over Europe, they're taking Protestant and Catholic and Orthodox churches that in many cases governments seize.
What?
They take them, saying we're taking away your tax exemption, and they house Muslims in them.
What?
And then they have Islamic art displays and bring the school children there to Islamify them. They don't take school children to churches and teach them about Christ. They take them to Muslim churches.
How dare they?
That is, churches that have been converted to Islamic brainwashing.
Yeah.
Does he give a specific?
No.
Does he give any specific?
Never.
So all of that magical fever dream of other governments taking away tax exempt status from churches, which, by the way, that's not in other countries.
No.
Like, we have that. They do not. Do you know why? Because it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't have it.
Because we have some real issues with our past.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're doing that. They're taking away their non-existent tax-exempt status.
Right.
They're getting rid of the Christians inside.
Totally.
They're housing Muslims there. Then they're having art shows? Is that his problem?
Yeah, basically.
His biggest issue is they're having art shows.
I'm peeved at this Islamic art show. Yeah, but also he's peeved that they're not teaching these kids about Christian stuff. And I would argue that probably most...
Do you mean every single school day they've ever fucking had?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that they probably have enough of that. I don't know. I mean, I'm
never running low on my Christian information.
I get his argument that it's like, well, if it's all multiculturalism, why aren't we talking about every culture? And my rebuttal to that, which might be overly simplistic, is it's because you already have all the rest of the time is acquainting you with Christian.
Why isn't there a White History Month, Dan?
It's largely
because it's racist.
Yes,
to do. Fuck you.
It's the same. It's
not you specifically.
Right. It's mostly the same argument. But also to your question about if he ever is going to give specifics,
yes.
I would tell you to put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because it is sort of an introduction to a narrative he's going to get to a little bit down the line. So we're gonna hold off on that for a second and get to this next clip, where Alex Jones sort of admits that he doesn't know what he's about to cover, ever.
Okay.
He kind of is just winging it, and the producers prepare everything for him.
Gotcha.
I have a stack of this today that just shows up in my stack as the crew prints...
Like it's magic.
Basically all the front page articles of more than 10 major news sites a day. Most of the news, when I come in and thumb through it, I've already looked at it, seen it.
Sure.
But constantly there's stuff I hadn't seen, just piles of it.
So he's saying that the producers just print out articles.
They don't even print out articles. They print out the front page.
Right, right.
That's it.
They print out the headlines.
So his entire staff prints out headlines, and then they're like, job done.
Sometimes he's thumbed through them before.
Which is nice.
Which is a cursory reading and maybe just getting a couple details.
I like it when he does prep.
But
he does 6 hours of prep work.
But even in that, he's saying that that's only some of the time.
Yeah.
Some of the time, he doesn't even know anything.
I love the way he puts it, too. Like, it just shows up in my stack. Like,
magic.
Where?
Rob Dew works in mysterious ways.
Satanists.
Absolutely.
Every time he doesn't get an article, Satanists.
Absolutely. 100%. It's the work of the devil.
Yeah. Use voodoo.
So like I told you, we're going to get back to that narrative, and it came back much quicker than we thought. Here it is.
So I have a stack of news where they're desecrating churches all over Europe, turning them into Islamic centers, government funded, where they take school children to learn about bombs and the hijab and actually tell them it's good. Just like the police chief last week, a major city in Finland said, we're going to put terrorists in schools. They put adults in high schools. They call them little boys, like the two guys that were reported in the bombing last week in London. Oh, one was 21, one was 18. They were called boys, refugees that came in the last 2 years and were living with an old couple. And they called them their little boys. They're little jihadis that blow up the train. And then the police chief says, quote, we're going to put terrorists in classes because terrorists can teach us multiculturalism.
So this is from Finland. We talked about this a tiny bit. I accidentally said it was Sweden.
Is Little Jihadis the sequel to Little Rascals?
It might as well be at this point.
That'd be a fun one.
We'd learn a lot about multiculturalism.
Absolutely. So, and bombs.
So this was a situation where someone tweeted at a Finnish police chief. They said, fortunately, the adult ISIS terrorist put into school with children did not carry out, according to police, an attack at school. And then someone else replied, and certainly not the only one. Was something done to that other 20V to get him out of school? I'm guessing that's another immigrant who's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And then the Finnish policeman replied, on the contrary, people need to be motivated to stay in school, on the bench, whether it's a child or adult. So this other person responds, I mean, what? As a police officer, you support terrorists being in our children's schools? The policeman responds, even a terrorist can benefit from good learning. It might widen views and expand tolerance. And the guy responds, you don't think it'll pose a security risk to children? And the cop responds, our schools are safe. It guarantees a professional teacher and smart students. And what he's getting at is, these aren't terrorists until they've committed terrorist acts.
Oh.
That's the underlying thing.
So he's not, I thought he actually said he was a member of ISIS. No. It was just a guy?
No, the person who committed like a knife attack elsewhere was a student at a school. And they didn't know that he was a member of ISIS or whatever until
he committed a terrorist act.
Yeah. The argument that's being made is don't treat all immigrants as if they are terrorists.
That doesn't
make
any sense.
It's an unhealthy mentality.
What are you talking about?
Also,
one is all.
The only place I could even find anyone making a stink about this was Infowars.com. And they had a link to a WordPress site. So it's just completely independent, individual operation called the Tundra Tabloids. And,
Tundra Tabloids?
Yeah.
All right. I am going to start reading the Tundra Tabloids.
I don't know if you want to, because I'm reading over the sidebar of it.
Does Roger Ailes own it?
No, it seems to be, independently run as best I can tell.
Okay.
I don't think you want to, because I'm reading the sidebar here, and I can even, flash this up here on screen. We have this here. Multiculturalism is a gross failure. Assimilation, where celebrating one's own heritage, but as a full member of the dominant culture, wins. That's a troubling sort of mentality, I think, in many ways.
So,
at least as an ethos, that doesn't appeal to me.
White Christian people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can have your fucking dumb religion.
Right.
But as long as you know that our Christian nation is supreme to it.
Right.
You're cool. That's sort of what that means. It's not great.
Was there like a patient zero for this white supremacy bullshit? Like, was it, what does it all
Adam?
Go back to? Yeah, does it really all go back to caves where people just walked out and they're like, holy shit, you look different, and that was that?
Probably.
And then we were fucked from the beginning?
Well, I mean, you got to assume that even in the
It's probably the Jews' fault.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, boy.
Did you say Jews's?
Jews's.
Okay.
I was trying to say Jews with the apostrophe S on the end of it.
Kickstart is 5% Jews's. Juice. I would say that even in those caveman days, you had heterogeneous populations living in tribal enclaves.
Right.
And so they already had built up cultures within themselves before they ever would have encountered people of different colors and races. So, probably you would have, like, your built-in tribal mentality before you encountered somebody be like, you're different!
Yeah,
so
but...
So there's probably some of that that dates back that far.
The metastasism of white supremacy seems just bonkers to me. Like, it's fucking everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you even fucking...
And it's in such subtle shapes and forms, too.
Yeah.
It's a big problem. It's a big problem.
Yeah. If you're a white supremacist, you should fucking die.
Yeah, but...
Just go away.
Alex would tell you that
Build a spaceship if you hate everybody so much and just get away from us.
Alex Jones would tell you that, like, you think that white supremacy is a problem, and, I mean, I guess he would say that to me as well, but he wants to tell you about how there are three different parties that are all teaming up because of one thing that they all enjoy, and they're the real problem.
Oh, boy.
So why do I mention that? Because to the globalists, to the pedophile armies, they love Islam because it's right there in the Quran that you can marry a 9-year-old girl. It's right there that you can... Gay sex is illegal between two adult men, but if you're an adult man and it's a boy, oh, then it's okay. So pedophilia is actually enshrined. And that's why the left loves it. They're going for it because they are now the pedophile, Satanist, degenerate party. They go to their events. They will tell you. They will publish in major leftist publications, drooling, disgusting, fat slobs.
That's all it is.
Showing videos of 5-year-old girls dancing, telling you how much they want to have sex with them. You say, why would they do that? Because they want to throw it in your face and rub it in your face. Just like they want to give nuclear weapons and missiles to North Korea. It's satanic.
Did we give them?
No.
Is that what happened?
He believes that the Clintons did all that.
Right.
That's all nonsense.
And now he believes that we're all rubbing his face with pedophile children.
Yes, and celebrating
Of course.
The only concrete example he has is that Salon article that he's misrepresenting.
Which, again, does not celebrate it. It's like,
no.
Hey, maybe think about
When he talks about, like, globalist publications, too, the ones he always brings up are, like, The Atlantic, Foreign Policy, Foreign Affairs. I'm certain if you go to their websites, they're not going to have, like, a video of a 5-year-old dancing with the headline, "We want to fuck this girl."
Did you not see Ally McBeal? The dancing baby, man.
It was not a sexualized dancing baby.
Sexualized dancing baby. Dancing
sir,
baby.
Sir.
Absolutely.
I must
nope.
protest.
Uh-uh.
David E. Kelly has a lot of problems. This is not one of them. I don't believe.
We'll see. Have you talked to him?
I haven't.
I trust you.
Let's get him on the phone.
Let's get him on the phone.
Speaking of which, are we going to call Larry Nichols?
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
Let's not do it right now, but yeah. So Alex has started the show with some pretty irresponsible talk, but also this narrative about people taking over churches. These Muslims taking over churches.
Yeah, where does that come from?
Well, I don't know.
Does he make it up whole cloth?
No, because there's videos that come. He plays like out of the Philippines where people are like tearing down crosses and stuff like that.
The number of things wrong with the Philippines right now.
Right. If you
church
wanna,
bullshit is way low on the list.
If you want
the fact that their president is an active murderer.
Right.
They elected a serial killer who is still killing while president.
Yep, and has kill armies.
That is amazing.
It's exactly like
when America elected Andrew Jackson.
More or less.
Who was a serial killer who kept serial killing. And he did, in fact, have killer armies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow it's worse because it's 2017.
It should be.
It feels like
should
it's worse.
It should be worse.
I don't know. So he has those examples, but again, like even as you just pointed out, there's context in the Philippines, certainly, that, is being ignored by Alex. But, it seems to me that this next clip we're gonna play is kinda what he's actually talking about.
Okay.
And then he's lumped in Muslims because he has that video out of the Philippines.
He's got nothing else going on.
Yeah, this one's wild. This is some wild stuff.
Okay.
This article is by Shepherd Ambulance. We wanna get on the show. Great Infowars.com, reporter. Illuminati-themed fashion show held at London Catholic Church. And, of course, the church went along with it. This is liberal.
Liberal.
Just like the Pope said this year, it disgusts him to hear about Europe's Christian roots. He says, let in the Muslims. Merge with it. And now they have fashion shows of people dressed up the way you dress up for a satanic orgy, right out of Eyes Wide Shut. It's fact, it's the accoutrement that I will guarantee you is used probably in that church. You know what they do in the Canadian Parliament? I've actually had members of the Parliament on. It's come out in major publications that they built the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa to carry out satanic rituals. Oh, yes. And so now their ultimate fun is to do it in a church, but now, I mean, this itself is an act of Satanism to carry out a satanic ritual in a church. The only thing better is to kill a child.
I mean,
and I'm not going to get into what they do on the altars.
He's about to get into it.
But they eat crap, everything else, to degradate God's temple to bring in the demons.
So
to bring in the demons.
So there's an Illuminati fashion show that's happening in a church.
A tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it's just this thing. Have you ever gone to, like, thevigilantcitizen.com?
No.
It's a website.
Of course not.
It's a website where
what the fuck are you talking about?
There's this whole trend that people believe that the Illuminati is coming out in public now. And so whenever you see stars putting one hand over their eye, it's a message that they're a part of the Illuminati. And if you see an Eye of Horus anywhere, that means
raptors.
But the thing is that I think a lot of people in pop culture have sort of realized that they're triggering crazy people to write free press about them. And so,
that's a good point.
Whenever you have stars that are doing these like Illuminati themed music videos, Illuminati in heavy quotes, you know, the Miley Cyrus videos with weird imagery and stuff, they know that the blogs are going to be a flutter with like, this is demonic. And that just gets them pushed further out into a population they didn't have access to before. Cause these are adult weirdos. They're not necessarily going to be listening to Miley Cyrus, but now they're going to watch the video. And even if you're calling for a boycott for something, it's basically free press.
Yeah.
So
no publicity is bad publicity. So how can you be so stupid as to not see through Alex's bullshit on this one? They're dressing the way they would to go to a satanic orgy, just like Eyes Wide Shut.
Right.
So excuse me, are you saying that Eyes Wide Shut was a documentary?
He thinks
that's
that.
How people dress. Like
he does think that
it was. Oh, is it because Kubrick?
Yeah.
Is that why it is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
that
he claims to have talked to Stanley Kubrick's daughter.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, he has a bunch of inside information, but he's like, she told me in confidence, so I just can't tell you, but I know. Like, all right, great.
He has to have gone to at least one orgy, right?
You'd think. I mean, maybe during Buckley's birthday party.
Well, yeah, that's a good
point. Special episode about that coming up later this week. So I want to flash up here again this research cam here.
Because orgies are usually, like, really boring. Like, it's like a house party. Yeah, everybody's, like, dressed up. They bring, crudité.
So I was trying
to... Then everybody starts fucking and it smells terrible.
I was trying to figure out where Alex's...
That's my review of orgies. Everybody starts fucking and it smells terrible.
Two thumbs down.
One thumb in some... Never mind.
Oh, boy.
Never mind.
So I was trying to figure out where this narrative of, like, the Ottawa Parliament in Canada is demonic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it led me straight to this blog, harrymachow.com, and I have it here up
Harry
on screen.
Macau? I know that guy.
You do?
Yeah, he's the smartest dude I've ever met.
Come on.
He's brilliant.
What are you talking
about? Have you read that?
I have.
Unstoppable brilliance.
It's terrible.
Word 1 to word 12, which is the only number of words he knows.
Jordan, you gotta stop fucking around. You have a hard out tonight. We have a long episode. And we had tech difficulties.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be nice.
So, occult power running Canadian Parliament?
Yes.
That's the article here.
True.
And it's a first-person report about being under satanic attack when he worked at the Canadian Parliament.
Okay.
And I've read through it. It's nonsense. I don't need to read all of this to you. But I want to give you a little bit of a flavor of some of his tweets. So you can see in the sidebar here, right over here, the so-called culture war is the ongoing Masonic Jewish subversion of Christian European civilization. Oh, boy.
That checks out.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
The culture war is that.
You have here a picture of Angela Merkel as a new Hitler, but with a euro on the armband.
Oh, yeah, I get it. That's clever.
Yeah, yeah,
Did you see the cartoonist, the guy who started going after the New Yorker cartoonist who won 2 Pulitzer Prizes? And he just went through a whole long number of his cartoons, and all he did was just draw national debt on different things.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have...
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
We have here on the sidebar another tweet of his, which has Trudeau with his wife and the speech bubbles. She's saying, "I wish you had balls." And he's saying, "I wish you had a penis." These are some of the tweets Harry Macau has sent out.
I mean, that's kind of clever.
Anti-Semitism equals resistance to Masonic Jewish supremacism.
That's true.
Okay. So, I mean, you kind of get the sense of what he's up to. Also, I mean, like I said, if you want to go read this first-person account of occultism at the Ottawa bullshit, it's
Wait,
hot
so
nonsense.
Anti-Semitism is resistance to the Masonic Jewish supremacists?
Yes. That's what he's saying. He's basically, okay. it's the same argument all these people make, that is, like, anti-Semitism is just a label you get painted with when you stand up against Jewish supremacy, which is real to them. It's wild. Also,
why do we have these people?
I don't know.
Can't we just not?
It's tough to implement anything that would get rid of them. Education isn't working.
All right. Now, here's the thing. Genocide gets a bad rap.
I'm not engaging with
this. You're not going to go along with this one? Okay, fine.
No. But I was trying to find other, you know, arguments or instances of things that might, you know, validate Alex Jones's concern that the Canadian Parliament was specifically satanic and what have you. And I found this thing called the Rhinoceros Party of Canada that was in play from...
I am voting for them, full stop.
They were in play...
Don't care whatever you say after this. I am voting for Rhinoceros Party.
They were in play from 1963 to 1993, and they were a joke party. They were a parody party trying to just have fun and goof off.
Yeah.
And they
like
ended
the,
up
the pirate party and yeah.
And in 1980, they ended up getting 1% of the vote, which is crazy.
Right.
But this guy named Brian Godzilla Salmi in 2001 tried to revive the party. He gained his nickname because he wore a Godzilla suit while campaigning.
Excellent.
He ended up changing his name to Satan. S-A space T-A-N.
Very nice.
So he filed a lawsuit against the federal government in 2007 on the bounds of the election rules that led to the disbanding of the Rhinoceros Party, demanding $50 million in compensation. As his name was now legally Satan, the lawsuit was filed under the name Satan versus Her Majesty the Queen.
All right. There are heroes still left in this world.
So here are some of the campaigns that the Rhinoceros Party tried to embark upon.
Gotcha.
They tried to repeal the law of gravity. They instituted French, English, and illiteracy as Canada's three official languages. they're just fucking trolls, man.
Yeah.
Tear down the Rocky Mountains so Albertans can see a Pacific sunset.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. Banning guns and butter, since both of them kill people.
That's true.
Banning lousy Canadian winters.
No, you gotta have those.
Donating a free rhinoceros to every aspiring artist in Canada.
That is a terrible idea.
That is the work of Satan.
Satan.
So, I don't know. I think that that's all a lot of, I mean, we could just ignore the Illuminati fashion show aspect of it. I was much more interested in the idea that Canada, their parliament was specifically for satanic rituals. I think it's just because they have a red carpet.
If you
look at the pictures, it's like, there's red there. Anyway. This next clip, Alex Jones gets really salacious and he's really terrible.
Yes.
Whether you believe in Satan or not, Satan believes in you. And these people believe in Satan.
They don't.
All wrong.
And you better believe that it's coming out, the former prime ministers and others, on a routine basis, have little orphan girls brought into their offices.
Orphan
they lay
girls?
The plastic out on the floor and they slit those little girls' throats and those little boys' throats. And a lot of the elites don't even touch the body. They just pleasure themselves while the child flops around like a fish out of water, gasping for air. So you just remember that, and you remember that real good, what you're signing on to, right?
So that's just radicalizing his base. That's just using disgusting rhetoric in order to be like, hey, you got to be on my team because the other team is like that.
That's fucked up even for him. Where does
I mean, it's right in line with his normal behavior,
yeah,
quite frankly.
I mean, yeah, but that one's so... They get little orphan girls.
Right.
Which they have to be orphans now. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be just people would donate them, but now they're orphans.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're stealing them.
Right.
And then they slit their throats.
Right.
And a lot of these guys don't even touch the body, which is a weird sentence.
Well, we have from another episode, they make fun of the bodies, too.
Yeah, that's true.
We have
that's
that.
True.
You forgot that piece in this one.
Instead, they're just jerking off over the dead body.
Or flicking beans. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
It's gender neutral elites.
It is 2017. Yeah, it's 2017. I apologize.
So, I mean, I don't want to really dig too deep into that, except just to point out that this is the rhetorical style that Alex uses in order for you to just be like, please ignore how full of shit I am, because this is the enemy.
Yeah.
They slit kids' throats and jack off to it.
Nobody can actually believe that shit, right?
I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of the people who believe all the other bullshit he says are like, well, he was right about X, Y, and Z. He's got to be right about this.
I don't know. That's a step far for me.
I don't think it's a giant
There has yet to be a bottom to the level of stupid that we've dealt with.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Alex Jones's fans are the type that are in for a penny, in for a pound.
Right.
With a lot of this stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't like the idea that this is how you, demonize an enemy. It's the same thing that if we're being totally fair, we've got to call out a little bit, and I don't think this is the left. I think this is just some idiots.
Mm.
Like Rob Reiner. With that Morgan Freeman video. You haven't seen this?
No.
Morgan Freeman narrates and hosts a video where he explains that Vladimir Putin has attacked us and we're at war with Russia. And it's a Rob Reiner led organization. The reason that I feel like we need to call this out while we're calling out Alex Jones for the radicalization of his base is because When we're talking about this, these Russian concerted campaigns, we don't want this to lead to a war. We have no interest in that. We'd like a resolution of some sort and a return to sanity.
Right.
And this sort of rhetoric that comes out of like Rob Reiner and Morgan Freeman and their organization, which is a very weird sort of, there is a march to war, a hawkish feel about it.
Yeah.
It is also radicalizing in a certain sense. And it makes me uncomfortable in the same way, not the same way, but it makes the same part of me uncomfortable that Alex Jones's radicalization of his followers does.
Right.
Because if you're dumb, you might buy into that and be like, need to go to war with Russia.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah. So, I mean, he gets people to be dumb on one side. Some of these other people, like Rob Reiner, get people to be dumb on the other side.
That's an interesting thought, though. Mm-hmm. I know, I don't know, like, So is the cyber attacks that Russia has committed against us, are they more just an offshoot of the normal spying that we, you know, we cyber attack them, they cyber attack us, we spy on them, they spy on us, that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just a normal offshoot of spycraft? Or is it an actual war there? Is that really an attack? It's not something that we should, you know, there's no boots on the ground in Russia, you know, like that's not ever going to happen.
Well, I mean,
because that just wouldn't make any sense. Also, I get we've made the classic blunder of going into Afghanistan before, but nobody's dumb enough to march into Russia during the winter anymore. Well, I think we figured that one out.
Thankfully, there are other seasons.
Yeah.
But look, I don't know what people who I don't agree with or really know. Like, I don't know Rob Reiner. I don't know those fucking, I don't really fully know what the neocons want. Like, I don't know.
Oh, they want us all dead.
Right, but I don't know what their end game is necessarily, so I can't really speak to that. But it seems like, from the rhetoric that comes out, that it is almost preemptive justification for a possible hot war,
right,
of some sort, or a force of regime change in Russia, which would be insanity. It would be, like... I don't even know how that could play out. It'd be nuts. But, like, look, I don't give a shit. That's not what we're here to talk about. It was just an instance of something that I needed to make clear in the sake of, like, complete fairness.
Mm.
While we're pissing on Alex, we got to make sure that there is some ideological consistency.
Mm.
So there's that.
Question. If it's so easy for Putin to get all those journalists and diplomats killed...
Yeah.
Would it be that hard to get him killed?
I think he has a lot of protection around him.
Yeah, but it seems like we could really do it.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
How hard would it be to get anybody killed?
I think he's probably...
Do you have a Tor browser is what I'm asking.
I think he's also probably pretty close to the top of difficult targets, like hard targets. I would say he's way up there.
He's
in terms of armed security, the fact that he has... decades of experience in spy games and shit like that. I think he would be almost the most difficult person to assassinate. So I don't.
Well, that's a trophy then. All professional assassins should be going for that one.
Your
job security, if you kill the hardest man to kill in the world, is perfect.
So far, I'm finding this experience very frustrating. I don't know what it is, but today I'm very frustrated.
I know.
I think it started when I tried to adjust your camera and you gave me a fucking dirty look.
No,
I'm furious about that right now.
I know, but
I've got to be honest.
You were distracted so much with fucking with the camera, you're not even paying attention.
I cut these clips. I know what they say. It's not
fair.
Like I'm as surprised
as
you.
I'm just trying
How
to
would
get
I
you...
set up the clips if I didn't know what
I'm
they said?
I'm just trying to get you focused on the show, man.
All right. Here's what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
We're done.
Are we done?
No.
We had two technical difficulties and our friendship has ended.
Thankfully, it looks like that is all taken care of.
Okay.
The tech issues.
All right.
But here's what's going to happen. We've got two more clips that are reasonably short.
Uh-huh.
And then we enter a period of absurd rants.
Okay.
And one of the clips is 4 minutes long. During that clip, I am going to fix your goddamn camera, and you are not going to give me a dirty look about it, or I'm going to kick your ass. That's
okay.
What's going to happen.
All right.
You don't understand.
I knew this live streaming would tear us apart, Dan. I knew it was going to tear us apart.
I have to look at this camera here, and you're out of frame, and it's bothering me. All right.
All right.
All right. Show meeting concluded. Let's get back to business, because again, you have a show tonight. We have a lot to get through. We have a long way to go, short time to get there.
Gotcha.
Gonna do what they say can't be done.
All right.
Gonna sing some more Smokey and the Bandit. All right. So this next clip.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, man. This next clip is very much Islamophobic.
And only the Christians are to be barred from the internet. Only the Christians are to be persecuted. The Islamicists will be held up on the highest pedestal. Now, that's in the West. The Muslims will also be used as the great weapon in India against the Hindus and the Buddhists, who they are allowed to slaughter at leisure with enjoyment. And the media also basically agrees to that and says that's a wonderful thing.
Wonderful.
It's truly amazing. They estimate 140+ million Hindus alone have been murdered by Muslims just in India in the last 1,000 years, and then you look at all the other places that were Buddhist, all over the Pacific. No, no, no. You convert or you what? You die.
So fake laugh there at the end, right?
Yeah, that one was gross.
But it's really unfortunate timing for him to be spouting this sort of shit, especially mentioning the Buddhists, considering what's going on in Southeast Asia with the Rohingya people.
Yeah.
With 400,000 of them being forced
fucked up
into
Aung
exile.
Aung San Suu Kyi has a Nobel Peace Prize.
Uh-huh.
And she is, if not actively facilitating, tacitly allowing a genocide to occur.
Yeah, it's debatable. I think a lot of people are saying it's debatable whether it actually classifies as a genocide, but whatever it is, it's a massacre.
Yeah.
And it's this minority Muslim population in a Buddhist country in Myanmar.
Yeah.
And they are having their villages
torched. Formerly known as Burma.
Right. They're having their villages torched. People are being slaughtered, gang rapes, killings, torturing. And I think the last statistic I saw was 400,000 have been forced into refugee status.
Just
running away to Bangladesh, which isn't going to work because Bangladesh is a disaster of a country.
Yep.
And it's not like there's anything we can even do about it. It's the geography of it. You can't, there's like the, it floods all the time because of the low-lying stat. Like, it's the country in the world that has the lowest gross domestic product just because it kind of has to.
It doesn't.
There's nothing you can do.
It doesn't make sense.
It's not mineral rich.
Yeah.
There's no agricultural potential.
It's like Monty Python where like, we built it, broke down, fell into the swamp.
Yeah.
Then we rebuilt it. Broke down, fell into the swamp.
100%.
Like, that's the whole country.
And now you've got 400,000 people who are being forced to flee.
Right.
And like I said, it's a minority Muslim population that's being chased out by a aggressive Buddhist majority that controls the government. So Alex is, I mean, he never talks about that.
Religion's
because
great.
He can't. He can't talk about that. It busts his narrative.
Yeah.
And so go suck a lemon. I'm going to skip this next clip because it's nonsense and it's about how the world was supposed to end yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So Alex is mad that people have mischaracterized and said that he thought the world was going to end on September 23rd. And the reality is he just had guests on that said it and he was like, great,
right.
Great.
He's like, probably.
Probably. You're a smart man.
Yeah.
So now we're going to enter the period of the show where
I should shut the fuck up.
No.
And you're going to fix my camera.
Oh, well, you,
and I'm
no.
I'm going to apologize to you.
No.
I love you, baby.
Stop playing games. Stop playing games!
I'm so sorry.
All right, I forgive you. No, this is where Alex, I think, wants to get into racist voiceover work. That's what I think is primarily motivating a lot of this.
Okay.
He has some news about Kim Jong-un.
He's not going to do a voice.
Oh, is he?
He's not going to do a voice.
So this clip is 4 minutes long.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't cut it anywhere because there's nowhere to cut.
Okay.
Now, granted, I could have cut 20 seconds in and you would have gotten the full effect. But we have to play it all because this is what's on his show.
We are back live. Kim Jong-un threatens to tame, quote, mentally deranged Trump with fire. Many leftist organizations in the United States have praised this. They're actually defending North Korea as they point loaded missiles at Japan, at South Korea, and others, and threaten preemptive nuclear war. And then it's Donald Trump and America that is saber-rattling.
Mm.
According to our controlled corporate press, whatever Trump might have expected, he will face results beyond his expectations. And this from Kim Jong-un, who never saw a buffet that he wouldn't scarf down immediately.
It says noted fat man Alex Jones.
Listen to him trying to like sound like he's a Japanese samurai. Chungju, before the fall of the sons of Arius and the seas gulfing Atlantis, there was a time of great adventure. And onto this plain strode Kim Jong-un, the magnificent, destined to rule the world and wear the crystal crown of Atalonia.
Wow, he's still going.
It is I, your chronicler.
This doesn't end anytime soon.
Who will tell you of the days this just of keeps great on going. Adventure?
I think it's worse.
He knows he's just speaking Korean. He's not trying to. He's not like, I'm trying to speak Japanese, but I keep speaking Korean.
Can you pull up John Belushi as the samurai? When he'd run around with the samurai sword, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus, he's like,
oh, that
This is still going. Why is he even playing the clip in Korean?
Me like cookie.
Me like cookie.
Stop, Kim Jong-un.
Does he think Kim Jong-un?
And I'm translating here from Korean into Japanese for you. Very, very similar language.
So at this point, he's pulled up the Belushi clips. So now the video is Belushi as the samurai from Saturday Night Live.
Wonderful. With the,
hold on.
With the voiceover.
We're not going back to it yet. Let me show you actual footage of a negotiation with Kim Jong-un and our ambassador just 1 week ago. A little bit grainy footage from a pen camera, but here it is.
He is pointing out how racist that character was.
It was the 70s.
It was the 70s, but I think we would all be very uncomfortable with that now.
Probably.
And now, another episode of...
That is pretty funny. Even that's a fake laugh.
I've already thought about this years ago, but I'm going to have a new bit way better than Jimmy Kimmel's and stuff about North Korean dictator. Go get me a kimono. Get me a samurai sword now.
Does he not know
that? Because I'm going to start having daily press briefings from Kim Jong-un. I'm sorry. I've hit the point of gallows humor with the threat of nuclear war, you know, just days away possibly. Well, the threat's here. Having a nuclear war could happen any time. And so at this point, I'm just going to have some fun.
I don't think he knows what gallows humor is.
I really don't think he does.
Oh, shit.
I really don't think he understands that there's a difference between Korea and Japan, first of all.
No, certainly not. And I don't think he understands why it's really disgraceful to do the ching chong humor.
Yeah.
That sort of thing is really...
Yeah, even get your racism right.
Right, but also, like, that's 3.5 minutes of him just going on his show, ah, rah, 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 rah.
That was a long time.
How do you not, like, how do you have that much nothing? Like, Kim Jong-un is someone you can really make a meal out of. Like, in terms of, like...
Substantive
issues.
I see no way to...
Well, you know, the brainwashing of the population, the beatings of people who didn't... The people who didn't cry hard enough at his dad's funeral, the killing his own brother in an international airport because he wanted to go to Disneyland.
Nobody's
proved some
that.
Shit. Okay, whatever. You know, like, there are... And that's just, like, the surface of it. There's so many fucking things you could point out about the...
Yeah, he's a monster. He's a monstrous dictator with nuclear weapons.
There's a substantive discussion you could have about him instead of 3 minutes of... That's disgraceful. Eh?
Is it, though?
Well, let's play this next clip. So,
all right.
Lest you thought that was the end of it...
How is that not the end of it?
Well, let's see what happens in this next clip.
Threatening to destroy the United States, which is asinine. The only problem is China more and more is coming in on their side, which shows how been completely sold out to China, giving them all our jobs. They oppress their own people. It's a horrible communist dictatorship. But our own elites wanted to control populations.
So let's take a break really quick there from this and go to there's an article out of Reuters here that is just from a couple days ago about how the Chinese have talked to their central banks, and they have talked to all the other banks in China and told them that they will be enforcing international UN sanctions.
Yep.
China's central bank has told banks to strictly implement United Nations sanctions against North Korea, four sources told Reuters, amid U.S. concerns that Beijing has not been tough enough over Pyongyang's repeated nuclear tests. Now, this is interesting for a couple reasons. One, because Alex Jones is completely lying and saying that China is on the side of North Korea in all of this.
Yeah.
They seem to be working with the international community to some degree. The second thing is that Trump came out the other day and said he
threatened to destroy an entire fucking country.
After that.
Oh, whenever he said that Colin Kaepernick should be fired.
No, before
that. Was that about Kim
Jong-un? In the middle.
In between those two?
In the middle, he gave a speech where he announced an executive order that he was going to implement these sanctions on North Korea.
He can't even
but
do
they
that.
But they were legitimately just a mirror of the UN sanctions that China was responding to. It's just him trying to put his own name on someone else's project, which seems like...
Him?
Seems like something he does a lot.
I don't see that.
So it's fascinating to me, though, that Alex can be this far off and, like, just complete... No, that's not surprising. But it's interesting.
Is he just really ignorant of that? It seems more... Like, it doesn't seem like he's lying about this one.
No.
It seems like he just doesn't know anything about what China's actually doing.
No, it's because the second clip we played, he doesn't read the news before he comes in.
Right,
just
exactly.
Thumbs through stuff.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know what China has done. He doesn't know the reasons for it. He's just heard Trump talk, and he's like, great, this guy is the best. He must be the one who's putting the sanctions on North Korea that are working.
Right.
As opposed to the international community that Alex so desperately wants to dissolve. Which is actually effective and maybe going to save us from nuclear war.
I think we're fucked.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to this.
I mean, when the Korean foreign minister was like, oh, it's inevitable that we're going to nuke your country.
Mm.
And that's
great.
At a certain point, that's kind of funny. Like,
let's get back to this.
Sure, dude.
Let's get back to this clip and see if we can find anything funny in it.
Okay.
And see if Alex Jones gets back to his very racist impressions.
No.
So let me, let's go back to more of Kim Jong-un's, and everybody wants that. Let's go back to more of Kim Jong-un's speech threatening Donald Trump. Here it is. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I actually believe that trannies are cool. I myself have no wee-wee.
Wow.
But I'd like to act like a man, but is my hair not beautiful? People say I'm fat. This is not true. I am very manly.
No,
I can barely
walk. So wait, he's just playing this whole thing so he can talk racism over it.
Yeah, it's just a riff, baby.
That's it.
He has
so
nothing.
So he's playing the clip.
He has nothing.
With no subtitles.
Nothing.
So he has no idea what he's actually saying.
Nope.
His audience has no idea what he's actually saying.
Nope.
So they're just playing a video of something none of them can understand while he goes ching chong bing bong over it.
Yes. And like, it's a video of Kim Jong-un not screaming. He's just reading. That's kind of how Korean sounds.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds different to our ears because it's a completely different language.
It's a tonal language.
Yeah. So,
great.
Yes, entirely.
Great.
It is just like, setting it up on a racism tee.
Yeah.
And just being like, all right, let's knock this baby out of the park. And if you are, like, I can imagine some of his audience thinks this is funny, which
it
is crazy.
You can't think it's funny. There's nothing
some
funny
Some people
to
like
it.
Jeff Dunham. You know? I mean, it takes
That's
all
true.
Kinds.
Some, Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need all kinds?
I'm guessing.
Can't we take fewer kinds?
It takes a village, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Ching chong, bing bong.
I can talk in a fake deep voice like this. We are the most oppressive, pathetic scum on earth.
Still going.
We are the example of big government being a nightmare cancer.
Nah.
I know globalists inside America gave me the weapons and are backing me up to try to embarrass Trump.
They don't need to try.
So even with that as, like, even if the Clintons way back gave North Korea these weapons, which they didn't. Even if that were the case, their motivation would not be to embarrass Trump.
Wait, are you saying that in the 90s, they weren't like, here's what's going to happen.
So this guy who keeps giving us money,
yeah.
One day he's going to run for president and we got to fucking cuck him out hard.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just
fucking stupid.
But this is indicative of, he just makes shit up. He's just making that up.
That's very frustrating.
Very.
I don't like any of this right now.
You're not going to like the next 10 minutes.
No.
Tend to have the military not strike us so we know we can thumb our noses. We believe we have back channels to discredit America. I'm a pathetic idiot. Idiot liberals like to come and pay to come here, and do tourism to slave area makes them feel better than other people. That's why we will win, because we have lots of scum like you who will help us, who want to oppress your own people.
Also, North Korea, known for its tourism.
Gopher-like vampire. All right, I'm going to stop now. I got to get serious. Let's get back to the real world, which is about what I was just saying. Kim Jong-un threatens to tame mentally deranged Trump with fire. Whatever Trump might have expected, he will face results beyond his expectation. This is how Kim Jong-un would sound.
No,
if he was speaking English,
he
because
sounded.
He's so...
We
powerful.
Literally just heard how he sounded.
Indeed, a powerful Jedi who I see has constructed a new gopher mask. But beneath the mask of the obese gopher is the cunning guile of a master assassin, a ninja of untold skill, Kim Jong-il. Which translates into swallower of souls.
Is Buckley back going like...
Because that's Satanism, is to put a deformed, evil, little canceled. Ugly vampire up
yeah,
on
that's
top of something
exactly
with a whole
like
country bowing and worshiping and scraping on their bellies. That's Satanism.
It's Satan.
Overturning the family, overturning God, overturning prosperity, and grinding the human soul
Satanism
into the dirt
prosperity.
With a big, dirty heel with a fat little goblin on top of you, smiling down. Yes, liberal.
I love that.
Liberal.
I love that he's been
yes,
doing that a lot.
Liberal.
That's the opposite of triggering to me. You know how, like, when he says...
It's almost kind of soothing.
When he says hubris, I want to punch a wall.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
whenever
yeah.
he says liberal, I just kind of like, you are such a dope.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You suck. It's if there was a catchphrase I could get behind, it's that. For him.
Liberal.
So he throws out Jedi stuff. He's, like, doing more voices.
We should start a new political party and just call it
Liberals.
Let's bring back the Rhinoceros Party of Canada.
Absolutely.
In America.
Yeah, yeah.
We are officially the
Rhinoceros Party of Canada in America.
Yeah, absolutely. it'll be, you know, we can run. We won't be vice or president. We'll be both co-presidents.
Of course.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
I think we should institute an everybody's president for a day. Mm. That would be our big running.
That would take a long time to get through.
It would take I mean, 4 years, you're looking at what, you know?
Everybody gets to be president for 10 seconds.
Okay.
Every adult in America is president for 10 seconds. So get your shit together now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You need your agenda set.
Right.
It's going to take a fucking it's going to be a hassle. Also, everyone gets to be a senator for 10 seconds.
Okay.
Actually, you'd probably, because you got to cycle through each like state's representative and stuff like that, you probably get like 45 seconds as a senator.
Okay.
But then 10 seconds as president, 10 seconds as head of the Joint Chiefs. This is a bad platform. We might need to work this one out.
I don't think we should do that.
So do you think Alex Jones is going to do more voiceover work?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Well, I got bad news.
Why?
Here comes 4 more minutes.
How?
So, let me, because when you talk about Kim Jong-un, you're talking about power. So let me speak in a powerful voice. Kim Jong-un, this is him speaking. Kim Jong-un threatens to tame mentally deranged Trump with fire. Whatever Trump might have expected, he will face results beyond his expectation. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has threatened U.S. President Donald Trump with fire in a response to the president's speech at the United Nations this week. In a rare televised speech Friday, Kim labeled and accused Trump of being mentally deranged for threatening to destroy North Korea. The mentally deranged behavior of the U.S. president openly expression on the U.N. arena was the unethical will to totally destroy a sovereign state beyond the boundaries of threats of regime change.
If I'm being perfectly honest, as someone who can critique some voiceover work, I'm not going to give him a job.
You're not?
He can't stay in a voice. Like, he's sliding all over the place.
That's your main issue with what's going on right here.
Well, I've got to pick my battles.
Okay,
you know?
Good point. Good point.
And there's nothing substantive. Like, he's not getting into any real issues. So there's nothing for me to really poke holes in that we haven't covered already. Like,
right.
The Hillary gave him the weapons and shit like that.
Or that he's just a giant racist piece of shit.
Well, Alex, yes.
Yeah.
So I do critique his voiceover work. It's terrible.
That's true.
This is dog shit.
Now, I will say this.
We're not done with this clip.
If any CNN anchor just committed to doing a dumb voice for a while.
Oh boy.
A fantastic day. Yeah. A fantastic day.
If it was just doing a.
Like, if Don Lemon goes on scene somewhere and is just like, it's time to have the CNN show.
Let me be clear, though. Like, if it was somebody who was just putting on a fun voice,
yeah.
I'm all right with
yeah,
it.
That's
but if
fun.
Don Lemon got on air and just did ching chong bing bong stuff, like, that would not be okay.
How soon would they cut the broadcast?
Certainly not 10 minutes later.
No, it would be, they'd be like, technical difficulties, Don Lemon had a stroke.
Yeah.
And just started to.
It would be that like old time beep screen would just come up, the test pattern.
Yeah.
It's 2017 and they're still going to the test pattern.
And you could actually, no, there's the 7 second delay though, isn't there?
True, they could dump it.
Yeah, they could dump it.
And then tackle him.
Yeah.
Tackle him while the delay is buffering. But at the same time, like, you got to think about this. His argument is like the PC.
I'm confused. You said he has an argument?
Well, no. I mean, yeah, technically. It's not good.
Okay.
But like, Alex talks all the time about like censorship and PC stuff. And it's like, you've been doing bing bong shit for like 8 minutes on your show. And this is straight. This is 8 minutes straight. It's not like I took different parts of the episode and put them back
for real. This is all just one stretch.
It blew my mind. I was sitting at the office. I'm like, how long is he going to do this? I was like, I wanted to call in and just be like, what? How can
for
you,
real?
How can you think anyone is censoring you?
Wow.
You have done a racist, like, that's on the level of, that Rooney.
That's Breakfast at Tiffany's situation.
That's how bad this is. This is verbal, Chinese face or whatever.
Yeah.
Korean
yellow face.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it that way, even though I know we're fine. But.
I don't know what to tell you. He's the one being a fucking horrible, monstrous racist.
Yeah. And he's not done.
Or overturn of social systems makes even those with normal thinking faulty. Think about discretion and compromise. Kim said, according to state-run media outlet, Korean Central News Agency, KCNA. This guy really sounds powerful. Continuing. Look at him. Kim, who also has called the president a rogue and a gangster, stated that Trump's threats against the North Korean capital legitimize the North Koreans' pursuit of advanced nuclear weapons. His remarks, this is the great dear leader's speech, the man who gives the sun, the birds to sing, the grass to grow. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of his, sorry, back to him.
So I want to pause for a second. This is kind of boring, but trust me, it pays off
Does
at the
pay
end
off?
Of this. I know.
All I'm thinking while he's reading this dumb shit is Trump and Kim Jong-un have more in common than they have with any of the people living in their.
Well, you know, it, like what they say is like, normal people have more in common with a chimpanzee than they do with like a genius.
Yeah.
Like people with 170, 180 IQs.
Yeah.
Are more distant to average intelligence people than
they are to chimpanzees.
And I would make the same claim, take intelligence out of it. The two of them, Kim Jong-un, Alex Jones, and Donald Trump, seem to have way more in common with each other than we do with chimpanzees.
Yeah.
I lost track of the metaphor.
I don't think they're humans.
Mm.
I don't think that's, I think either they are
reptoids
psychopaths.
You're getting dangerously close to Alex Jones's demon narrative.
I just,
they've given themselves over.
No, I think it's mainly more my definition of humanity. Like, if you're a psychopath, which is clearly what these guys are, they have no, or just Alex, he can't laugh. He doesn't have the ability to feel something funny. So he's more of a whatever that classification is. Like, A human being is somebody who can care.
It seems that way.
Who can react, who can do all of these things. And it doesn't seem like he has that. It seems like he's a psychopath.
You're not far off in your assessment.
Like a Son of Sam killer or that kind of a thing.
I mean,
because he doesn't kill anybody doesn't mean he's not a serial killer.
You might be onto something, but yeah. Let's see if the rest of this clip changes your mind.
Oh, no.
His remarks, which describe the U.S. option through straightforward expression of his will, have convinced me, rather than frightening or stopping me, that the path I choose is correct, and that it is the one I have to follow to the last, Kim added. Now that Trump has denied the existence and insulted me, the great and powerful Oz, now that Trump has denied the existence of and insulted me and my country in front of the eyes of the world and made the most fiercest declarations of war in the history
universally
that we would destroy DPRK.
He's itching for drama.
Yeah.
We will consider with seriousness
he wants Hollywood to call.
Exercising yeah. of corresponding the highest level of hardline countermeasures in history. The North Korean leader ended his speech by threatening to tame Trump with fire.
Pick one, you idiot.
And then it goes on from there. I will surely.
It sure does.
He's his real voice. I will surely and definitely tame the mentally deranged U.S.
Dotter
with fire. Yeah, he's a real daughter. He can hardly walk, you twerp. Trump at 71 could physically defeat 50 Kim Jong-uns in battle axe combat, I bet. He probably, a few of them hacking his legs, and the president might bleed to death later. But I predict that Trump
the president
could
might bleed to
Kim
death
Jong-un
later.
And 49 of his clones in a arena. In fact, he could easily do it if they were attacking one at a time.
Right. Well,
but
of course.
I believe Trump at 71 could slay 50 baby goblins, Satan hemorrhoid protuberances.
That was in his word a day calendar.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a pretty solid.
Back to the great and powerful laws. I will surely and definitely tame the mentally deranged U.S. daughter with fire.
Yet another voice.
Kim said.
Did he?
Yeah, you and close. Your yeah. detested Americans. Like I smelled you and you came in here. He says, Trump on Tuesday stated that the U.S. would totally destroy North Korea if the North placed ourselves or our allies in danger. The U.S. has great strength and patience, Trump said. If it's forced to defend ourselves, our allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
This boy can't read.
And that's what I've been saying militarily since the beginning of all this.
He found a pivot point, and he starts talking about how you got to nuke him.
Yeah.
But
I
have a question.
Can't possibly realize that what Donald Trump said is pretty much exactly the same thing as what Kim Jong-un said.
But we're right.
Just, like, switch sides.
We're right.
Like, if you just had those two statements, the speech that he gave at the UN uh-huh. and the one that Kim Jong-un made in response, and didn't tell people whose is whose.
Yeah.
Would you really be able to tell the difference?
Not really. And at the same time, like in wrestling, I think it's what's known as cheap heat. They're yeah. both just trying to get cheap heat.
Yeah.
They're both just pissing on the idea of each other in order to get their base riled up.
Right.
The other side mad at them.
Right.
Just because you want to see the blow off. But there's no pay-per-view coming. It's nuclear war. Like, it's really dumb. Speaking of which, tonight.
Nuclear war.
Very excited for tonight's. No Mercy pay-per-view.
Okay.
Very excited to see Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar.
Nope, I'm out.
Oh, they're too huge.
I don't.
Just a couple of hosses.
I get it.
Going up against each other.
Understood.
Got a frozen pizza and watched two big men beat the shit out of each other later. So anyway.
You're going to live your best life.
I want to be also apologetic to you because you had to sit through that 12 minutes of bing bong kind of stuff. But we're in the clear now.
Okay,
we're past that. And we're going to move forward with a couple of other really stupid narratives that he has. But this next one is just a little bit of fun. I've tweeted about this a lot lately. And so I just need to play it so everyone knows I'm not making it up. Alex Jones has a new song that's been in the rotation for intro music.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
we gotta check this out.
You're so happy about this.
Waging war on corruption, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. I'll be hosting a little bit into the fourth hour today, but then Matt Dubier, an amazing researcher and the owner of a powerful Chicago radio station that's been carrying us for 6-7 years, is going to be hosting. We're working with something very exciting with Matt that he's not ready to announce
far
yet.
Away from
But I'm looking forward to that.
So I've got a lot to say about that 20-second clip. The first thing I want to say is Tarzan Boy by Baltimora is awesome.
It's a great song.
That song gets me fucking hype.
Great song.
It's also a song that is very clearly about being a closeted homosexual and coming out of the closet.
Don't understand.
The chorus is night to night, give me the other world.
No clue what you're talking about.
Oh. So the beginning of it is jungle life. I'm far away from nowhere, on my own like Tarzan Boy. Hide and seek, I play along while we're rushing through the forest. Monkey business on a Sunday afternoon. Or a sunny afternoon, excuse me.
I don't get it.
Burning bright, a fire blows the signal to the sky. I sit and wonder, does the message get to you?
Sounds like he's a real man.
So that at the beginning is like about being isolated.
Nope.
And living on your own like Tarzan Boy.
All great men are isolated, Dan.
So then the second verse is jungle life, you're far away from nothing. It's all right, you won't miss home. Take a chance, leave everything behind you, come and join me, won't be sorry, it's easy to survive. Jungle life, we're living in the open, all alone like Tarzans, boy. Yeah. Mm. Hide and seek, we play along while rushing through the forest, monkey business on a sunny afternoon.
Nope.
It's night to night, give me the other.
It's about a man who loves being
give
Tarzan.
Give me the other.
No. He's running through the jungle.
It is not.
It's a story of a really manly, old, isolated man.
It's very clear what it's about.
Tame in the jungle.
100% clear. It's about dealing with homosexuality.
Oh, okay.
And wrestling with it in the early 90s, late 80s world that Baltimora was putting out music in.
Yeah.
They're great, though. I think it's a banger. So the other thing he was talking about is this guy, Matt Dubier, is going to be hosting the fourth hour.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was talking. I was totally just listening to the song.
Because it's a banger.
I forgot exactly what he was saying.
Matt Dubier is a gentleman who Alex Jones has cited as a guy who runs a giant radio station in Chicago.
Yes.
And they have a little bit of a special thing. I have pulled up
50% off on male vitality.
I've pulled up the website of the station he runs. And it is WCKG AM 1530. And if you go on their website, you can see you can listen to WCKG on AM 1530 in the suburbs. 102.3 FM in DuPage County or online. It's not in Chicago.
No.
This is not Chicago. This is suburb shit.
Right.
Also, I went to their Facebook page here as it loads up. You can see in this that they have a 4.6 out of 5 stars, only 7 reviews. Knowledge Fight has way more than that. So at very least, we can say that we have more of an engaged listener base than WCKG Suburban Radio that Alex Jones is on.
Interestingly enough, it was referenced by Serengeti on the song Brian Denny.
What, CKG?
WCKG.
Great.
Huey Lewis and the News.
Thrilled.
Yep.
It's not a Chicago station. It is a suburb station. That is a small petty point for me to make, but I'm making it because in the fourth hour, what ends up happening is Matt Dubier comes on and, he's terrible. He's not ready for primetime as a broadcaster. But he airs an interview that he pre-recorded with Adam Carolla.
No.
And
old white men.
That was
stop it.
It was particularly heartbreaking for me.
I know, that must have hit you where it hurts.
Well, but I've been predicting for a long time it's only a matter of time until Adam Carolla shows up on InfoWars.
Of course.
But this is technically not that yet, because Matt Dubier runs a Chicagoland radio station, and Adam Carolla was in town to do his one-man show on September 23rd.
Uh-huh.
So it was clearly just promotional.
Right.
And the interview is mostly just about, like, hey, what's it like with these Hollywood liberals and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And Adam, like, it breaks my fucking heart. Like, I studied Adam Carolla. Like, I loved him when I was 12. 13, whatever. Like, I grew up with him as like a role model.
Right.
Because he's really, really, really smart. And the ability that he has to make metaphors and analogies is unparalleled, at least in people I listened to growing up.
Yeah.
And so to hear him now spouting all this, like, pretty close to right-wing narratives, and especially, like, he's going on tour with Dennis Prager talking about how college campuses are too
PC
uptight.
PC culture, PC.
It's like, dude, you suck.
Too much PC culture. I don't know. Oh, these PC people. It's not that I'm old and out of touch and not funny anymore.
I don't know.
It's PC people.
I don't know where it broke, but it broke somewhere, and it's a bummer. Then
it was 9/11. It changed all of us.
It didn't, though.
It changed all
of us. No, it didn't, because I listened to him around 9/11. That was when he was still on the radio station in Columbia.
It was a slow burn.
He got kicked off the Loveline got kicked off the Columbia, Missouri radio station because of what he said after 9/11.
He was cheering
along
with Trump's Muslims?
He had a very reasonable response that is very unpolitically correct.
Don't blow everybody up?
Basically.
Yeah.
His argument was, all right, we got it. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go over there to the Middle East and say, all right, you guys blew up our buildings. We're just going to let it go.
Yeah.
Because we could come over here and bomb you guys, and then you're going to bomb us, and everyone's going to forget where things started, which I would argue that's not the starting point, 9/11.
Right.
But that is a reasonable response in some ways. Like,
well,
we've got to work this out as opposed to fighting.
It's the same one that Hunter S. Thompson had, where he
totally
predicted us.
The generation of fear or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But be that as it may, like, that's what got him thrown off the Columbia radio station. And back then, he was far more reasonable. And, like, to be in this world now where I, in 2017, am obsessed with pointing out and cataloging Alex Jones's nefariousness, to have it dovetail with a hero of my childhood, it's just a bummer.
Yeah.
It's particularly bad. It's like if Superman ended up being on, or like 20 years from now, if Chris Gethard is a weird Republican.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not gonna happen.
Like, if in some way he ended up turning real hard right,
Chris Gethard's audience would sacrifice him before they...
I would assume.
Yeah.
But you would have hoped Adam Carolla's audience would have checked him, too.
They've gotten old the same way he has.
But so,
like,
have I.
It's old white dudes who get more and more out of touch and isolated, and they start to believe their own bullshit.
Somewhat. And money is a real problem.
Money is a huge issue.
Like, Adam Carolla, even though back in the day he always said that I'm literally a millionaire, like, as a bit.
Yeah.
And he was a millionaire, but, yeah, like, you know, barely.
Exactly.
Now he's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Now he's...
Yeah, everybody who has a lot of money should be killed, and we should get all of it.
All right.
Yep.
Is that part of the Rhinoceros Party?
That is part of the Rhinoceros Party.
Of
everybody,
Canada, of America.
Everybody with a net worth over, let's call it, 60,000, we kill and give to Puerto Rico.
60,000?
Yeah.
That's a really low bar.
We're the Rhinoceros Party of Canada in America.
This is going to be way less of a parody party.
No, it's a parody party.
I see, with a T?
Exactly.
Right. So in this next clip, Alex Jones gets into a situation that's going on in London, and
I like that you were shocked at 60,000. Like, I was, it's already a dumb, I could have pulled any number out of my hat, but you're like, whoa, 60,000 is crazy, even for a joke.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, like, if I got a couple raises, I might get there. But that's not net worth. That's like
income. Not if you're going to join my party.
And let me be clear. It would take about 6 raises to get there. But like $60,000 a year as a salary is not unreasonable.
Oh, no. I said net worth.
But if you, who cares?
All the stuff in here?
Not $60,000. I don't know how you could put a price on my cat, but be that as it may. Let's get into this next clip. It's about affairs in London.
Yeah.
That have to do with Uber. And Alex Jones is misrepresenting a situation pretty hard.
Oh, do you mean Uber?
They're ruling
a predatory
you.
Company?
If they can have 10 million refugees, 8 plus million men, and have them everywhere raping in mass women to where Uber has to shut down because the Muslims are using it as rape wagons. The woman comes into the spider's nest. The door opens. She doesn't know it's a spider nest. She steps in. The guy locks the door, drives her into a garage, and 5 Muslims gang rape them. And hell, those are the lucky ones. A lot of women come up missing because the word is they like to cut up women and then sell them at their meat shops. Oh, yeah, that's in the news. But it's okay because it's liberal. Yeah, it's all liberal. And they're going to do a lot more of it. And you're going to love it. And you're going to take it. And you're going to beg for it.
Okay. That's sensational and terrible. It's not in the news that Muslims are killing people and selling their meat. I don't think that passes halal. I'm not sure. I don't know all the details.
You have to drain the blood.
I don't think human meat is going to be halal.
Who amongst us has not wanted human meat?
I'm
sorry.
Count me in.
$60,000 net worth.
Oh, boy.
No. Okay. Now that's a new one. I have not heard. Look, Uber is a bad company.
Very.
They're a predatory thing. They are ruining people's lives.
Yes.
And they're really fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that they were rape wagons too.
No. And also, I mean,
at least he's not on Uber's side. I kind of expected him to be like, and now London won't even let Uber do stuff because of the liberals. But no, it's Muslim hating instead.
Well, the thing is, there have been incidents of Uber failing to report sexual harassment,
sexual assault. Yeah,
because
they're a predatory,
assaults.
Awful,
but that happens
murderous
here, too,
company.
And it's
yeah.
not a Muslim problem. It's
no.
a structural problem.
It's a man
of a
problem.
Business like that. Oh, that, too.
Yeah.
But also, you know, while
we should have a 30-day background check on men.
While we have also this corporate culture, there is people who are just going to ignore stuff that they think they can ignore.
Yeah.
And that is endemic in Uber. So there is some stuff like that.
It's endemic in everybody
at
this point.
But there's no indication that has anything to do with Islam or anything like that.
No.
And the reason,
of course not.
And the reason that they're getting kicked out of London is that they are not in compliance with a number of regulations
mm-hmm.
that have to do with, I mean, it's the same conversations that we've had over here with like medallion taxi companies
yeah.
being pissed off that like you're completely screwing over the business and shit like that. They have lax background checks for their drivers. All these sorts of things. There's a ton of regulations that play into it, not just the sexual assault stuff, even though that is a piece of it.
Right.
They're not Muslim rape wagons, though.
They're a shitty, evil company.
Absolutely.
Run by shitty, evil people.
And they're real interested in shortcuts.
Yeah. Because
that's how you make a profit, even though they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow they're still losing all of their money.
Yeah, it's wild. I think that's probably due to lawsuits they get settled.
I would hope so.
But also, the fucking human meat thing is just really disgusting.
Why is he doing... Like, his paranoid fantasies are insane.
They keep bubbling, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know... Look, when you're talking...
I know it's weird to say his paranoid fantasies are insane and have it mean something... But they're insane even for paranoid fantasies.
Well, like, if you are laying in bed and it's in the dark, you know, you wake up at like 3 a.m. and you hear a sound and you think someone's in your house. That's
immediately like, they're going to eat me.
But no, but okay, take that out of it.
Oh, okay.
Before that, that's a reasonable paranoid fantasy.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh shit, there's someone in my house, X, Y, or Z, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's reasonable. Then to add they're going to eat me and sell me at a market.
No, that makes sense.
No. That's where it becomes unreasonable, but still a paranoid fantasy.
It is a paranoid fantasy.
Unreasonable. I did some looking into, like, instances of people selling human meat.
Yeah.
And,
good stuff.
Could not find any connection with Islam.
Delicious?
No, but there was a case in
a little
like
stringy.
There was a case where some people got busted in Nigeria
because
they were selling human meat. There was, I believe, wasn't it Reza Aslan who went on? He had that TV show where he went around and he hung out with cannibals and he ate some brain.
I did not know that.
Reza
Aslan eat a person?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you telling me that? Reza Aslan ate a person.
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to.
I think that means it's okay for everybody now.
I don't want to 100% say that it was him, but I seem to recall that being a news story.
Haven't you seen my bracelet? What would Reza do?
Oh boy. You gotta eat some brain now.
Gotta eat some brains.
I remember there being a big kerfuffle about him doing that TV show that was like about heretics and stuff like that, and he went and hung out with some cannibals. And as I recall, he ended up eating some human for part of the TV show. But I didn't dig too deep into that because I don't care.
I wonder how he feels about that.
Probably
now.
Conflicted. I would assume. I would hope.
I hope he craves it.
So I'm gonna,
I hope all of a sudden Rez is like, fuck.
I'm gonna skip this next clip.
I love eating people.
It was like, delish.
He wakes up in the middle of the night sometimes eating a burger just like.
Nom, 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 nom.
It's not people.
I'm going to skip this next clip. It's because it's just complaints about Jimmy Kimmel.
I can't imagine him having any.
It's just nonsense.
I'm sure he supports Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is very personally, you know, close to this issue. And actually the Senator Cassidy made him a promise that he wouldn't support any version of the bill that wouldn't take care of Jimmy. And so clearly he kept that promise, right?
That's not even what this is about.
What's it about?
It's about, like, Hollywood elites. Let's go ahead and listen to it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Let's just go ahead and listen to it.
I don't care about Hollywood elites.
It's very weird, and I think Alex is projecting. So let's just go ahead and play it, because you thought it was going to be about the healthcare stuff.
I thought it was going to make sense.
Nope, it's not.
Clearly.
Yeah, Kimmel, you don't like being called Hollywood elite, because you know that has the stink of political death on it. But, buddy.
Does it?
The pretty boys over at Fox News aren't your problem. You're your own problem. And you know you're a joke, and you know it's embarrassing, and you know only the stupidest people watch your show and like you. And I like your little threats on me.
Something rating share?
Where you threatened to kill me, and but it's all done as a joke, like I'm stupid.
Definitely don't think Kimmel threatened to kill Alex.
And the very things that happened the day after that little piece aired, that you probably don't even know about, because you're just a message boy that reads off a teleprompter.
Let me stop this here. He never ends up saying what he's talking about.
Okay.
I have no idea what happened the day after.
All right.
I don't know what that means, but the way he's phrasing it is creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
I guess maybe.
Also.
I'm going to guess Alex got like a threatening email or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would. Maybe.
Okay.
That's what I would. Or maybe the Secret Service came to his studio again.
Entirely possible.
Reprising their role from December 21st, 2012.
From one lie to another.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
The Secret Service. Look, now, I'm not going to say one way or the other whether or not teleprompters are good or bad.
Uh-huh.
But Jimmy Kimmel has never spent 4 minutes going ching chong bing bong.
That's true.
So maybe there's...
Well, I don't know. Have you ever seen... Have you watched
down.
All the episodes of The Man Show?
Up, down. No, but at the time, that's true. That was a possible
that
joke
might
for
have,
them. Yeah, that could have come up.
So let's see what else he has to say about Kimmel.
Foreshadowing Corolla's fall into madness.
Jesus, the two of them could not be further apart right
now. Yeah, right?
But still friends. It's weird.
He has no idea what he's even involved in, does he? The establishment says, here's your limo, and here's your money, and now you're somebody. You're somebody. While you run your mouth about how you're going to beat everybody's ass.
That sounds like you. That sounds like you, Alex.
You're scared, exactly boy, like aren't him. You? You're going to get a lot more scared. And all of you Hollywood trash know that you've got the wreath of failure wrapped around your neck, the cone of shame. You've got whoredom written across your chest.
So does he know
sold out.
Who he is?
What are you talking about?
I mean, listen to that. He is describing himself word for word.
You
he
keep saying
said,
you're going to beat people up.
Yeah, he says he has horror. Like, that's the thing that Alex has to know is him, right?
I think he
has to know that he's talking about him.
I think he thinks that everything he does is a noble pursuit. I think he thinks that selling all these products shamelessly is a noble pursuit. He's not a whore.
So this is absorbed twin shit right here.
Well,
we're talking about...
I would like to direct your attention to this, what I've labeled this clip. Seems to be projecting. So
seems?
Yeah.
Seems.
So
seems?
You and I might have a very similar analysis.
He is projecting the most.
So, I mean, that's all we're going to get to. There's like 2 minutes left of that clip, but let's fucking cut it because we hit the salient point.
Yeah.
He's talking about himself.
He's talking about himself so hard.
So in this next clip, Alex Jones lies about an experience he has, and here we go.
I see old whore walking filthy dog. I beat whore. All over the country, just you're walking your dog, unclean animal. I've actually had a Muslim come up to me and tell me that before. I'm not kidding. You know,
yes.
Dogs are unclean. This was on the sidewalk like 15 years ago. I was like keeping my dogs on my parents' lab. And I was like, are you kidding?
Because
the guy knew who I was using it to mess with me.
Did Muslims
that was back
eat
when I guess I just bent over Muslim? To Islam. I just didn't even know what to say.
I think he might be trying to pin the death of Nonk on Muslims. He's trying to fucking use them as a scapegoat for his murder of his own dog. That's possible. Also, like, he's not kidding. He's lying. That didn't happen.
Yeah, no, of course.
That 100% didn't happen.
There's no way that happened.
No. Also, I don't like that voice he does for the Muslim at the beginning is very, it's right on par with the stuff.
The amount of, somebody walked up to me and said a very convenient thing.
Right.
for me stories
seems
are
to match up with my narrative entirely.
Yeah, crazy.
You know what? He's like a bad comic who hasn't done
his work. Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, I have a chunk I want to get into, so someone else said something to me.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
Somebody came up to me after the show. And yeah. You're like, fucking.
Conveniently, every stand-up comic wins every conversation, and so does Alex.
Yeah.
It's very see-through if you've ever performed in your life. But in this next clip, Alex Jones admits that he's Islamophobic. So that investigation's over.
was there ever an investigation?
He claims he's not. But
I don't think we needed to investigate, though.
In this clip, he admits it, but also is arguing that it's right, which is not.
And he just, you know, see 7-year-old at the park. It's rape time, baby. He's like liberal. Because it's just love it. It's Islamophobic. Yes, I'm scared of black widows. I'm scared of rattlesnakes. When I go to a dock and I'm about to jump in and it's the springtime and the mating season of water moccasins, I don't just jump right in because I had a buddy in high school, a guy I knew, really wasn't a buddy, got killed jumping in the springtime. And it was a big ball of water moccasins that kill more people than rattlesnakes. And he got bit 7-8 times and died. So I'm scared of folks like this. I mean, I sure wouldn't take my daughters and drop them off at a park with a bunch of Islamic men wandering around. Would you? You're an Islamophobe.
Yep. You've made your case.
Yeah.
I would not be necessarily afraid. I wouldn't drop my kid off. I don't have any kids, but I wouldn't drop my kid off at a park alone ever.
Yeah, why is he doing that?
You need to have supervision of your fucking children, Alex.
Would you drop your kid off in a forest where there's a bunch of Muslims? Wait, are you saying you've dropped your kid off in a forest?
Right, I mean...
Where there weren't Muslims.
I don't know, because I don't have kids and probably never will, I don't know what the age is where it's appropriate to just leave your kid alone. But I know it's
I'd
not...
I'd say about 4, and if they make it back home, you can continue to raise them, and if they don't, they are eaten by the wolves.
They have completed the rite of passage.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what he's all about.
He loves the rites of passage. And fending your... you know how in high school they do orienteering? You know, like when they take you out into the woods and you have a compass, you got to find your way out?
No. Because I grew up in a real place instead of wherever... What, Missouri?
Fuck you. Listen... I know some of the wonks out there know what I'm talking about. There's a period in high school where there's orienteering, and it is just trying to get you to learn about compasses, about maps, that sort of thing. So you go to like a state park, and you're in a group of 4, and it's usually like, maybe it's not 4 people. The way we had it was 3 kids and 2 parents, and the parents are just there to make sure everything's safe, what have you, and the kids...
Are the parents Muslim?
With Muslim kids, yes. But with the, you know, with the kids, it's all up to them to use the compasses. The parents aren't supposed to help.
Yeah.
And you got to find your way back to the point that you're supposed to get to.
That sounds so liberal.
It's awesome.
It sounds so liberal.
It was great, except I was with a couple of guys I didn't like much. So my orienteering experience was not so great. But it's awesome. You're out in the woods. It's fun.
You had a buddy who got eaten by water moccasins, of course.
No. But my thing is, the reason I brought this up
is
that Alex wants to do that at 4.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I... That was a long walk. I admit. I just got wistful for orienteering.
I don't know where that came from.
I miss the woods.
That's possible.
I want to be back in the water, back in the woods. In this next clip.
Watch out for moccasins.
This next clip, Alex Jones.
Of both kinds.
Is lying. This is a lie.
The strangest thing about the radical Orthodox is Muslims is they respect me. On their main sites and stuff. They said they want to go after me, but. They know I understand their plan to take over. And they say, infidel, we know you know our plan. We will get you. But they have respect because they understand I'm aware of their agenda.
So.
You kooky infidel.
Yeah.
We'll get you.
I mean, this is the same delusional shit that he says about globalists who sit next to him on planes and stuff. Yeah. It's like, look, they hate me, but they respect the game. It's like, what the fuck
what
are you talking
fuck
about?
What is going on there?
So stupid. I mean, it's when you have a made-up fantasy world you're living in, you just cast characters.
Yeah.
You can just put whatever you want in there. But he's never said anything like that before, that radical Islam people
have...
They respect him.
So what...
Because he's a man.
When is he having a conversation with these people?
On planes.
Okay, so...
No, because he said on their main websites.
Oh, okay. So
maybe he's getting messages through websites.
from ISIS.
That say they respect him.
So ISIS is sending him like, dude.
Bro.
We're going to get you, you mm-hmm. know, Allah Akbar.
Right.
But fucking you are crushing it.
That's more
or
less.
You are so good.
That's more or less what he thinks is going on.
Right.
He's a fucking, this guy is nuts.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
He's, yeah, he has created like he's got a very John Wick kind of universe around him where it's like, oh yeah, we all respect each other. We're all international assassins and we'll kill each other for money, but right. we're at the hotel, man.
Yeah. It's
can't do anything here.
Yeah. There's a,
I mean, once we go outside, I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
So but we're chilling.
So this next clip is a Paul Joseph Watson joint.
Oh, fuck him.
So I want to say a couple things about Paul Joseph Watson.
He can die.
That's one of them. The other thing is about a month ago, he said he was quitting YouTube.
Oh, okay,
because
good.
Of the censorship.
I'm glad we never had to see him again.
And everything is so terrible that he's got to quit. And it's now currently a month later. He's still there.
Hasn't quit yet?
No, and he changed the title of his video that was about quitting YouTube to I Won't Be Here Much Longer.
Oh, what a pussy.
Yeah. Also,
what a cuck.
In April, he said he was done with Donald Trump if he allowed him to get more involved in the Middle East situation
and
stuff.
I'm glad that he quit. Now he's done with Trump.
He constantly does this shit. He's first of all, he's wrong about everything, but then he makes these sweeping pronouncements right. and then just doesn't follow through with it.
It's too bad he eats so much paper all the time.
Right. I know. That's probably infecting the brain.
Yeah, I would assume
making
so.
Making him make bold pronouncements he doesn't follow through with.
Yeah, no kidding.
The idea that he, for attention, was like, I'm quitting YouTube, and then is like, I'll be here for a little bit longer. I'll ride this until the wheels fall off.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah, and the narrative that conservatives and Trump supporters are being targeted on YouTube is patently false. Because their argument hinges on the idea that their videos are being demonetized and what have you, and that's just happening to lots of accounts.
Yeah.
It's not happening to conservative accounts. As we've talked about in the past, the Majority Report, Sam Cedar, progressive, liberal, broadcast also has had their videos demonetized. It's just something that YouTube is doing. Now, whether it's right or wrong, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But it's not targeted censorship.
Right.
Also, I would argue, if they're trying to turn it into a TV platform, liberal talk generally is far more palatable than Muslims are trying to kill you. Let's race bait.
I don't understand.
I think that's probably...
No, everything is equivalent. There's a... Left and the right, everybody's
well, no,
equivalent.
What I'm talking
about.
So on
about, the right, they're saying Muslims should be killed in large numbers.
Right.
And on the left, we're like, healthcare is good.
Right.
Same thing.
I'm talking.
Both of them evil, Dan. Equivalent.
I'm talking about if I were an advertiser, what would I put up with? And like, or what would gravitate towards my dollars? And unless I was already a crazy fringe weirdo who believed the InfoWars narratives,
right.
I would never want to put my money behind that, but I could see not being put off by reasoned discussion of policy or something like that. Also,
you're not going to put your money behind reasoned discussion of policy. Nobody's watching that shit.
I mean, a lot of that's on the Majority Report, and I enjoy watching that.
Yeah. And there's a reason the Majority Report isn't on TV.
And has way less viewers than InfoWars.
Exactly.
Also, no matter how popular we ever get, I have no interest in YouTube monetization of our work. That would never even really be a concern for me. The only reason that Paul Joseph Watson's concerned about it is because he makes a lot of money from that. He makes a ton of money from it, and he's afraid that, oh shit, this thing, this business that I have created... people are starting to pay attention to it, and, I don't have my own thing. Because he doesn't.
It's because too many liberals whine.
He doesn't.
It's because too many liberals are whiners.
He doesn't have his own thing.
He's going to whine about liberals whining.
Alex Jones has his own thing. Paul Joseph Watson doesn't. He has a successful YouTube channel because he's sensational, he's a bigot, and he makes really fast-cut videos where he lies really fast, and by the time one lie hits you... It's too late to look into it because he's already onto another lie.
Right, right.
It's the classic distraction tactic with fast cut videos.
Right.
And you can just gin up your base really hard with that.
Not hard to do.
So anyway.
Especially when your base is fucking stupid.
Anyway, here's a clip of him complaining about Hillary Clinton.
They were, responding on a YouTube comment chain or
this
on Twitter or something. They were just attacked, and the attacks
Korean
were
voice.
So sexist.
Oh, cry me a f-ing river.
The f-
are you on about? YouTube comments? Now you're whining YouTube about comments. YouTube comments.
Get over it.
YouTube comments.
So the reason I wanted to...
God, he's such a grating piece of shit.
Yeah, I really don't like him. But the reason I kept that in is because I want to point out that... Don't do this. But if you, if you ever want to watch Paul Joseph Watson's videos...
Don't do it.
90% of the points he tries to make are on the back of random people's Twitter. Like, not celebrities' Twitters.
Uh-huh.
Often he just has someone who I have to assume has 100 followers... Or something like that. Just a random person saying something. And he does a me voice and then launches into his point that like, oh, this person hates Trump. So therefore everyone hates Trump.
Right.
So him saying that Hillary Clinton has been out of shape about YouTube comments, it doesn't hold water when his journalistic standards are random person's Twitter. It just, it's insanity to me. But again, this is just pointing out hypocrisy, and it doesn't matter.
Nope, they don't care.
So we have one more clip, Jordan, before we get out of here, because I have not chosen to include any of the Adam Carolla business, because it's not really important. The actual interview isn't, it's not super offensive, and it's not, if Alex Jones talked to Adam Carolla, we would cover nothing but that. But since it's a pre-recorded interview with that, I don't even have proof that Adam Carolla knows that's going to be played on InfoWars.
Right.
So it is a thing where it's like, this is tertiary.
Yeah.
And that guy, Matt Dubier, is not good.
He's dubious.
Yes, he is.
All right.
Also, he hasn't.
There you go. I think it's time for me to quit.
You get out of here.
I got it.
So Alex Jones also has an interview with Tommy Robinson, who is he works for the Rebel. He's just a Muslim-baiting asshole in London, in England.
I for some reason, Tommy Davidson just popped into my brain.
Trying to sell a Pazone?
Not him. Not him.
No. Tommy Robinson is a prick and a real disaster. And because we have a number of listeners in the UK, I decided let's not go into this. I don't want to put them through it.
Okay.
So shout out to our UK peeps. We have saved you from listening to Tommy Robinson. But we do have one more clip. And it's interesting, and I will explain the historical inaccuracies contained in this clip on the other side.
Okay.
You know why everybody gets so scared of stuff like It the Clown, Pennywise, and it's the number one movie, horror movie ever. Was it $400 million or something I saw the other day?
All right, dude.
You see, that's why this show sounds so whacked out, because truth is so much stranger than fiction.
Not the long impressions.
Don't believe me. Just search the history of clowns.
Except all of their stuff.
And
is
that
fiction.
In ancient Greece, Babylon, and Egypt, child sacrifice cults.
What about Persia?
Would put on red outfits for blood.
What about Celtic people?
And red manes for blood.
What about Vikings?
And white faces. Because they knew they had to tell the villagers, you bring your kids. That's the ultimate act of submission, is to bring your 2-, 3-, 4-year-old right when you love them the most.
And God said, bring me
right
your
when they're
son.
They're the funniest, the sweetest, they everything. Were. And they're going to torture them in front of all you. They're going to grill them on a big hot metal plate in front of the idol with a fire under it. Or they slice them up and the priests drink the blood and then a lot of times make you drink it. The Aztecs did it. Everybody else did.
Everybody else.
And in almost all cultures, the people doing it, instead of wearing an executioner mask, because sometimes somebody might still get mad at the village who still has their instincts and kill you. So you don't wear a mask, a hood, like an executioner. You wear a clown mask with a big red mouth. You're scary and big red hair for blood. And you wear, in fact, let's show the satanic ceremony that's on Drudge right now. Illuminati satanic themed fashion show held at London.
So he gets, like, he uses that Illuminati fashion show as another hinge here.
Now I finally understand Bozo the Clown.
Well,
I finally get that show.
Here's the thing.
Bring me your children and I will make them toss ping pong balls.
Right.
Into a little bowl. Bucket.
Alex said you can look into the history of clowns. And so I did. On his request.
Right.
And I found this very interesting article on SmithsonianMag.com, the magazine of the Smithsonian Institute.
I assumed that.
Here's something that we can start off with. Clowns as pranksters, jesters, jokers, harlequins, and mythologized tricksters have been around for ages. They appear in most cultures. Pygmy clowns made Egyptian pharaohs laugh at 2500 BCE. In ancient imperial China, a court clown called Yuzi was, according to the lore, the only guy who could poke holes in Emperor Qin Shi Huang's plan to paint the Great Wall of China.
Qin Shi Huang.
Whatever. Hopi Native Americans had a tradition of clown-like characters who interrupted serious dance rituals with ridiculous antics. Ancient Rome's clown was a stock fool called the Stupidus. The court jesters of medieval Europe were a sanctioned way for people under the feudal thumb to laugh at the guys in charge. And well into the 18th and 19th century, the prevailing clown figure of Western Europe and Britain was one of pantomime clown, who was a sort of bumbling buffoon. But clowns have always had a dark side, says David Kaiser, director of talent for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But the history of clowns...
We'll get into the dark side of clowns?
We will, because there's a very... There's a very simple explanation for why people are afraid of clowns.
Assassins.
No. But the stuff about these, like, cultures putting on makeup and what have you in ritualistic fashion, that wasn't, like, the roots of clowns. Like, look at how priests dress. Look at how...
No.
Look at how people in Muslim churches dress. Like
never.
Or look at how Jewish rabbis
can't
dress.
Can't do it.
There's ritualized dress in every religion. There just is. And if you look at, like, Native Americans, they have much more flamboyant ceremonial dress.
Right.
You look at cultures that haven't had their roots in Western cultures. They generally do have more colorful.
That sounds like a terrible SNL sketch, Pennywise the Pope.
Oh, boy.
That'd be a terrible.
Still better than the Nazi.
Let's write it.
But, like, if you look at the monks in Yemen or in Tibet, they have very brightly colored ornamentation. So what I'm getting at is that
all religion is clowns.
But that's a completely separate tradition than clown tradition. Clown tradition is this tradition of a pressure valve on oppressive cultures.
We have to explain to Alex Jones that clowns are not the same thing as religious figures.
Right, because clowns come
got it.
Largely from that jester role. The jester role of the emperor has no clothes type shit.
Of course.
But the dark side of clowns is actually pretty interesting when you get down to it. Because it comes from one guy.
From one guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy who is responsible for the modern day clown that we know of.
Uh-huh.
Like the face paint, all
that
stuff.
Right.
And because, like, before this guy.
Not the artistic carnival clown with
the Commedia dell'arte?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that stuff has that tradition too. Even though there is, like, the Harlequins and, I can't remember the other word, Periot,
sure.
Whatever. That tradition does exist too, but a lot of it comes from this guy. It was from the mid to late 1700s. He ended up dying in 1837. But he was basically credited with the modern day clown. He's a guy named Joseph Grimaldi. And,
I think I've heard that name before.
Yeah. He's the big clown.
Never say that again.
The thing is, before that, clowns were side characters and stuff that would come in to, like in that last paragraph they're talking about, you'd have a very serious thing, and then the clown would come in and be like, bah, just do a weird dance or whatever.
Right.
Joseph Grimaldi was the one who was like, fuck this, the clown is the star. And so he became a massive star.
Okay.
He became a massive star by putting the clown front and center. And he did all that, like, you know, all that character stuff.
Right.
All the face paint. He had a mohawk at some times. He painted his cheeks red and what have you.
Uh-huh.
But because Grimaldi was such a star, the character he'd invented became closely associated with him. And Grimaldi's real life was anything but comedy.
He was a serial killer.
He'd grown up with a tyrant of a stage father. He was prone to bouts of depression. His first wife died during childbirth. His son was an alcoholic clown who drank himself to death by the age of 31.
Jesus!
And Grimaldi's physical gyrations, the leaps and tumbles and violent slapstick that had made him famous, left him in constant pain and prematurely disabled.
Right.
As Grimaldi himself joked, quote, I'm grim all day, but I'll make you laugh at night.
So he's Jerry Lewis.
Grimaldi, grim all day, but I'll make you laugh at night. No, he's not Jerry Lewis.
He's Jerry Lewis.
That has the Holocaust in it. The tears of a clown. So that Grimaldi could make a joke about it highlights how well his tragic life was known to the audience.
Right.
So the audience even knew about how fucked up this guy was.
Right.
So enter the young Charles Dickens. That's right.
Okay.
After Grimaldi died penniless and an alcoholic in 1837, the coroner
should have been more pennywise. All right.
The coroner's verdict, quote, died by a visitation of God. That's poetic. So
that's a wonderful line and a terrible coroner. He should be fired.
In 1837, though?
Oh man, I want that on NCIS the next time they have like the autopsy done. They're like, he died from
God came.
Visitation
God
of God.
God checked in.
Visitation of God.
So
we'll never solve this crime.
So after Grimaldi dies, and he's penniless and an alcoholic, Dickens was charged with editing Grimaldi's memoirs. Dickens had already hit upon his dissipated drunken clown theme in his 1836 The Pickwick Papers.
Uh-huh.
In the serialized novel, he describes an off-duty clown, reportedly inspired by Grimaldi's drunk son, who died at 31,
right,
whose inebriation and ghastly, wasted body contrasted with his white face and clown costume. Unsurprisingly, Dickens' version of Grimaldi's life was, well, Dickensian, and Stott says, imposed a strict economy. For every laugh he wrought from his audience, Grimaldi suffered commensurate pain. So, basically, Charles Dickens took a lot of creative license with an already very sad, drunk clown story.
Mm-hmm.
And it created this mythology of this really fucked up clown behind the scenes as a desperate, sad person. And people's imagination ran wild with that. It created the archetype of drunk, sad clown.
Uh-huh.
And people made even more artistic representations of it after Charles Dickens took license with Joseph Grimaldi's life.
Right.
So beyond that, also, people, I think they've done studies and it's like 2% of the population is sincerely afraid of clowns.
And the rest of us are just it's kind of funny to be afraid of clowns.
Well, I want to talk about that in a second.
All right.
Most people grow out of it, but almost everybody is afraid of clowns to some extent at the age of 2 or so.
Uh-huh.
And that is because
they're uncanny.
Well, it's because
they remind us of people, but they are not.
Well, there's that, but also children are afraid of, like, you know, characters at Disneyland, too.
Uh-huh.
Just people in suits and costumes and stuff like that.
Right.
That universally scares children because
Their brains can't process that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Until the age of like 3 or 4, maybe even later than that, children can't tell what's fantasy and what's reality. And so this idea of these overblown characters, they just think they're real.
Right.
And it's scary to children. And some people don't grow out of that.
Like Alex Jones.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So this has been my dissertation on clowns. And
as a comedian, I thank you.
Right. Alex Jones. His version of the history of clowns is very stupid, not fact-based.
Clowns drink
but
blood.
Now, back to the fear of clowns.
Clowns drink
thing.
Blood.
Back to the fear of clowns.
Gotcha.
Thing. I want to be totally clear about this. If you say that you're afraid of clowns, I'm going to take you to a clown.
Don't.
And if you're not scared of that clown,
point at me.
If you're not scared of that clown, fuck you. Because I hate
you got
people.
Very serious.
I hate people who claim to be scared of clowns. Because it's become a social meme.
Yeah.
It's become a way of replacing actually having a personality. You just are like, I'm scared of clowns. Isn't that cool? It's the same people who are like, I think moist is a gross word. Oh, you're fucking interesting. You came up with that. Yeah. Or people who are like, oh, it's an Oxford comma. Like all that stuff is just shorthand that people have. Like now granted the Oxford comma at least is a real thing that some literature majors or English majors do know about. Or like, I know about the subjunctive. I
How
know about
dare
that.
Dare you?
Right, because I studied Greek and it's an actual.
Don't you know that the subjunctive comes from eating and drinking blood?
Now, were that to be true, I'm using the subjunctive. But, like, all of this stuff I really think is a dangerous trend in society that we see where people just take shortcuts into creating personalities.
That's not a trend. That's human history.
No, I think it is a trend. I tried to do a bit about this back when I did stand up and It never really worked.
Right.
But
so do it now in the appropriate context.
Well, no, I can pull the pieces of information out of it and have a conversation.
Right.
But like, I think originally in the olden times, let's say, there were like memes, like I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Like
verbal memes that were little catchphrases and jokes, or with Alex now it's liberal.
Yeah.
But you know, you have those that are just verbal, little indications that like, I got this.
Yeah.
I'm
into
this.
Yeah.
We can have a shorthand with each other about like shared whatever. And that's one thing. Like saying stuff like that. Like, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. I don't know why that's the only example I'm coming up with. But it's perfect for what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Or rectum almost killed him. You know,
rectum damn near killed him.
Right.
Right?
It's fine.
See? Also, that's the funniest thing in the world.
But based on your response, it proves my point.
What?
That these are verbal memes that people have.
Right.
But they don't indicate a personality necessarily. The I'm scared of clowns is trying to put something about yourself into a verbal meme. And that to me is pathetic, and it's an evolution of that. It's an evolution of just saying a catchphrase and it being like, I want this catchphrase to say something deep about myself that isn't true. You're just picking up social cues. I don't know. I don't know if it matters, but it really bothers me.
I think you just described high school.
But I'm talking about adults.
I mean, high school doesn't end.
It should.
Adults are not, adults are just as dumb as, no. I disagree with you. I do not think it is a new trend at all.
I
think people are dumb and they always have
maybe
been.
It's not a super new trend, but it's an evolution of that verbal meme shit and I fucking hate it.
Okay.
Also, it's time in society to really deal with the fact that memes are internet hackery. So.
Uh-oh. Hot take! Hot take alert! Put the graphic up! Put the graphic up. This, hot take alert.
This take is so hot, I've got to cool it off with some Kickstart.
Hey.
Honestly, I can't tell what you're making fun of.
I think everything and nothing at all. I think it's all hilarious and we should all.
Memes are hacky. Get over it. That's right. I'm Lenny Bruce on this podcast. Telling people to come up with your own personalities and stop using memes to try and express something that you think is, who cares?
All right.
If you want
to let me get started on listicles, okay? If you can't actually write an article, if you gotta have number one, number two.
You're joking.
Top five things that you should suck a dick about.
You're joking, but I'm on board.
No, I know. I hate listicles too, but also it's a dumb thing. Why not just let people do their dumb shit?
Because I think at the end of the day, if people stopped doing dumb shit that they didn't need to do, maybe it would give them time to come up with sincere, deeply found personalities, and that might fix the world.
But those are
Alex
scary,
Jones,
and they're hard to do.
Alex Jones thinks that Trump yelling at football players taking a knee is going to save the country. I argue that maybe everyone finding their sincere core of their humanity, that could save the country.
I think the reason that people don't is pretty obvious, which is
it's hard.
The fear that maybe there isn't anything there.
Or maybe I dig too deep and I find out something that I don't want to find out.
Right.
Maybe I find out that I have been a bad person.
Right.
And let me tell you, as someone who has found that out,
not
it
a good
sucks.
Day. Not
it
a
sucks.
Good day.
But it is a starting point towards fixing things.
Yeah.
So there's that. Anyway, there's nothing really to be afraid of, as long as you, are open and, open towards progress.
What we should do is rename this podcast
self-help?
top six things about Alex Jones on today's show.
We might get more listeners.
Yeah. That is probably true. Yes.
Or if we labeled it like clickbait, like I'm leaving YouTube. Fuck you, Paul Joseph Watson. Anyway, if you want to find no clickbait and no memes, you can go to our website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Oh, very smooth.
And if you want to support the show, we would appreciate it. There is a button there that says support the show. You can click on it and become a policy wonk.
If you want to find the only Twitter feed that does not have any memes, but inexplicably Dan still does polls from time to time, it's at knowledge_fight.
No, not many.
Polls. I know. I'm just kidding.
We're also on Facebook.
And you need to go to iTunes, subscribe, do the whole thing. Or you could watch us on Twitch, which is what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
So we're doing this for the people who are. Should I be doing either of this part?
No. But we are.
Do the people who want to listen to this on the podcast? Okay.
We are on Twitch. We broadcast live if you want to find us. Ideally, Monday through Thursday at 8 p.m. And intermittently on the weekends, whenever we,
depending on how things go.
The month
I'm spending at Zany's is ending, so
very
I will have
close now.
Yeah, I know it's. I'll be back to broke here very shortly.
Well, not if we get more of these policy wonks.
There we go.
Around.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be back on much more frequently.
Yeah, but until then, we'll have some guest hosts, which will be fun.
Yep.
But, hey, I want to say this.
Do you know who this, fucking...
No.
Oh, okay. No. I'm sorry.
I think it's time to get rid of the Rappaport at the end, because he sucks.
Okay.
He sucks, but he's not really as much of a villain. Like...
But isn't that kind of the fun of the bit?
No,
all right, fine.
I don't know what.
Disagree.
Honestly,
then.
Don't know what the fun of the bit is. I have no idea. But look, here's
go fuck yourself. No,
here's the thing.
Yes,
I've been wrestling with the fact that, like, I've watched a bunch of John Rappaport stuff.
Yeah,
and really, all he does is anti-vaxxer, don't trust medicine type stuff, and that's
right.
Bad. That's bad.
Right.
But really, the big bad. The big villain of this whole thing is not even Alex Jones. It's Larry Nichols.
It is Larry Nichols.
Larry Nichols is the uh-oh, you're going to the phone.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Larry
Did
Nichols,
you guys think the show was over?
Larry Nichols is, like, the biggest problem of all of these people. So I think that the end of our show, our sign-off, really should be something to do with how he should fuck himself. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I do.
So that's my feel. Oh, man, I can't believe you're fucking calling. You have to immediately say you're on the air.
Okay.
And we're recording. This is scaring me so much. I am freaking out. I probably need a cigarette. The tension. What if you saved your phone number and said, don't answer?
Answer the phone, you son of a bitch.
Maybe he's on oxygen.
4-4
No. That's the answering machine. We can't broadcast his number.
Oh.
That's the
right.
Answering machine saying his number.
That's right.
Son of
God
a bitch.
God damn it.
You know what? He didn't answer his phone, and that means Larry Nichols.
I'm going to call him one more time.
Oh, Jesus. This is harassing now, though.
I called him twice.
That's harassing.
Fuck you.
Dead air here. This is freaking
answer,
me out.
Answer the phone. Answer it.
If he didn't have his fucking phone number there, you could leave a message.
Yeah.
But maybe I could, like, mute your mic during the... who cares? This
who
is
cares?
Too much.
He's not going to answer.
No,
God damn
not.
It. That was going to be such a great showstopper.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll get in touch with him
we
at some point.
We were going to get a million new viewers because
but,
of
like,
that.
But, like, look, seriously, he is the villain.
He is a piece
and
of
now
shit.
That we have evidence of him blackmailing Congress on air.
That's true.
We really need to make more of a concerted effort to point out that, like, this show is about, like, documenting Alex Jones and clowning on his dumb ass. But I honestly think we should try to take down Larry Nichols, too.
Like, let's do it.
Honestly, I think that should be a much bigger focus of what we do. We have evidence of him committing a felony on air.
Right.
We have evidence that all of his shit for the last 18 years has been lies.
Right.
We need him to go to prison.
And Alexander Dugan is too big for our show.
And he's a foreign national. What are we gonna do?
The end of Die Harder?
No, we can't mess with Alexander Dugan.
Come on, it's been revoked.
No, he's not diplomatically immune.
He's diplomatic immune.
No, he's not. He lives.
He's got diplomatic
he's
immunity.
He's not even in the country.
And then
he's Skyping from Russia.
It's been revoked.
He can't come here. It's he's under revoked. Sanctions.
I'm just trying to reference the greatest moment in movie history.
Diplomatic immunity. So look, I just think that Larry Nichols needs to be our focus as opposed to John Rappaport.
Alrighty.
And so that is my ploy to try and pitch that at the end of our show we should tell Larry Nichols to fuck himself instead of John Rappaport.
Yeah, but do you know what I'm really frustrated by?
I'd love for you to air any grievances.
All of this really, all of the argument that you just made is really John Rappaport's fault, so I'll just tell him, go fuck yourself, John Rappaport.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.